This is The Bible Show.
Welcome to The Bible Show Daily. We believe in the power of God's Word, so we want to be in it each and every day. So Sam, where are we at in the Bible today?
Today we are in the Sermon on the Mount, and we're getting into Matthew chapter 7 now. We're going to be going through the first five verses that deal with judging.
And here it is. Judge not, that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eyes, but do not notice the log that is in your own? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye.
All right, so there's a lot to unpack here, especially given our current cultural moment and how this verse is often thrown around.
How it's used.
Yeah, if you ever say anything to anybody, they'll say, you know, don't judge. That is not what's going on here. See, there's a difference when you're talking about judging. There's a difference between issuing a verdict on someone, like, you know, it's like you've heard it say, you did something bad versus you are bad.
Yeah.
You know, you told a lie versus you are a liar. So there's a judgment is like, you deserve to go to hell. You're outside of the grace of God, and I pronounce that on you. And that's like, you better not, like, don't do that. That's really, really bad. But if somebody's engaging in behavior that is clearly sinful, it's not judging to say you're engaging in sinful behavior. Yeah. So like, if you look at this, what it's saying is, with the judgment you pronounce, so it's like a verdict. I have delivered the verdict on who you are as a human being and your worth and your destiny. With that, you're going to be judged. And our pastor does this great thing where he talks about, like, you know, you on the day of judgment, you won't stand a chance to measure up to Christ's standards of perfection. You fall way short. And then he said something I thought, that's really good. He said, you can't even stand to your own standards, right? If on the day of judgment, Jesus says, you know what, I'm going to set my standards aside and I'm just going to play everything that you've ever pronounced over another person that they shouldn't do, we'd be toast, yeah. Right? I've told people not to do things that I later did or that I used to do. Like, we're constantly doing that kind of stuff. It's not wrong to say, Will, you shouldn't cheat on your wife, right?
Yeah.
It is wrong if you've done that to say, well, you're going to hell now.
Yeah.
You're a horrible, bad person, and I want nothing to do with you. Two radically different things, right? So notice what happens in here. Jesus says, and this is meant to be kind of comical, why do you see the speck that's in your brother's eye, but you don't notice the log that's in your own eye? Well, if you have a speck in your own eye, it looks like a log is the idea. Hmm. Like, it's not saying you walk around with a log. It's like you got the speck. It's like your whole vision is covered by that. Why are you not dealing with it? But listen to what he says. He says, how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye when there's a log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the log out of your own eye, right? We're all good there.
Yeah.
But listen to what he says next. Then you will be able to see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. So what does Jesus want you to do?
Deal first with you, but then still go to your brother.
That's right. There's still a speck in his eye. You're not supposed to be like, well, I don't want to judge. Maybe he likes the speck in his eye. Like, maybe the speck in his eye is becoming like a cultural fad and it's kind of a cool thing. I'm just going to leave. I'm not going to get involved. Like, no, you are absolutely to go to your brother. It is the loving thing to go to your brother or sister who is engaged in destructive sin and kindly, graciously, mercifully, recognizing their dignity and value in the sight of God, to go to them and be like, I want better for you.
Yeah.
You're on a path that leads to bad places. How can I help? How can I point you, steer you to Jesus? And that is a good thing. But you do that with a sense of mercy, right? Well, the whole concept of mercy, right? When Jesus says, you know, blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. What is mercy? It's a recognition that you deserve punishment and didn't get it.
Yeah.
Which means there had to be a standard that you messed up on, right?
Yeah.
And so we, in our cultural moment, have made this don't judge as if it means don't ever say anybody's ever wrong.
Yeah.
Don't say any behavior is ever wrong. Just, you know, you mind your own business and leave them to themselves. And that is not at all what the scriptures are getting at. It is the antithesis of mercy and love to look at somebody who's sprinting toward a cliff and to be like, I don't want to judge. Like, that's crazy. You should do anything and everything you can to get them to not run off the cliff, right? You're called to that. And Jesus, like the law, the Old Testament law talks about this all the time. Jesus, in fact, when he gives the two greatest commandments, he says the first greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength, right? Like, so that's a big one. Love God with everything you have. Then he says the second greatest commandment, and what is it?
To love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah, he didn't invent that. He did, because he's the one who inspired God, the Old Testament. But that comes from Leviticus chapter 19. Listen to chapter 19, 17 and 18, how God says that you're to love your neighbor as yourself. In the same passage, listen to this. Do not hate your brother in your heart. But then hear this. Rebuke your neighbor frankly so that you don't share in his guilt. Don't seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. That's the passage. He's quoting from a place where it says, how do you love your neighbor as yourself? You rebuke your neighbor frankly. Don't hold a grudge. Don't hate him, but rebuke him. If you see him in error, if I said to you, hey, Will, today after the show, I'm gonna go have an affair on my wife. And you said, I don't want to judge.
I'm not going to judge you.
That's the least loving thing you could do for me.
Yeah.
That's not loving your neighbor as yourself, because I would say, if I was in that situation, what would I want Will to do for me? I would want you to tackle me.
Yeah.
I would want you to tie me to the tree, like do whatever you have to do, like to keep me from wrecking my life. But instead, this idea that, well, I don't judge. No, you're not to pass the final verdict. That belongs to God. You are not to say this person's soul is worth less because they're engaged in these things. You show mercy. You pray for them. You lift them up. You do whatever you can to call them out of destruction. Gently, sometimes mercifully, all that stuff. But this idea that do not judge means that you're not concerned about the speck in your neighbor's eye is garbage.
Yeah.
Garbage. Don't come at them as a hypocrite when you're doing all the same stuff. Get yourself, get your own stuff in order. But once you've gotten your stuff in order, go help them with the speck.
Hey.
That's what love looks like. What do you take out of this passage?
I think because we've been in Beatitudes so much, now I'm seeing a lot of, through the lens of pride versus humility, this passage makes a lot more sense. Because like you talked about, which is kind of the first time I remember hearing that about, no, we're both specs are going to be dealt with, but he cares about the order of operations.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't go to your brothers first and say, take that out without acknowledging yours and your own. I don't know, handle yours, but then also go and help out your brother.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. Do it in humility and not pride, but help somebody out.
Yeah. And by the way, having the experience of removing a speck from your own eye makes you far more compassionate and able to help them with their speck. So, I mean, whatever that sin might be, if it's an addiction or, you know, whatever it is that you're, if I have had to have that fight, if I've been where they are, if I know what that blindness feels like, and I know how crippling it is, and most of the time people don't want the speck in their eye, but they can't win the fight against it and they keep relenting and submitting to it. Like, if you can go to them and be like, man, I remember what my life was like and how I had to walk through that and how painful it was to see family members walk away. What, like, I can relate to where you're at, but somebody helped me out of a pit.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it on my own. And now I'm here with you. Can I help you get out of this pit? I'll stand underneath you and lift you out. Like, it's coming beneath. It's coming with humility. It's coming with, I've been there. I know what it's like. You're going to hell and, you know, all the harshness. Jesus is like, if you want to hold that standard over them, then you're going to have that standard held over you. So you better come with humility, with a desire to lift them out of the pit, with a desire to see them free of the speck. But get rid of your own first. Come in humility. Don't be a double standard bearing hypocrite, right? And this, again, is, you know, as pastors, as people who talk to, it's like, I should I be talking to people about this? Like, and that's why humility is the most precious part of calling people out of their error.
Yeah.
Don't go stand over them and point and preach. Come to them with a humility that recognizes that you have been forgiven much, that Jesus' patience with you has been amazing, that his tenderness with you to come and condescend to where you are in your filthy pit and to lift you out with patience and grace and kindness and all that, showing you dignity the whole time. That's what it looks like. But it's not going, oh, you're doing destructive things? La, 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 la. I don't want to judge. Like, that's garbage. That is not what the Bible teaches.
Yeah, so let's go to the Lord now. Lord, we just thank you for your mercy first and foremost. We thank you that you are a God who has significantly loved us at great cost to yourself. So Lord, as we sit in that now we see that there are specks in all of our eyes, God, that we are sinful, that we do need to come to you in confession. So Lord, let us now just deal with what we need to deal with you. Lord, let us repent of where there is sin. Lord, show us where we need to repent. Lord, it's your kindness that leads us to repentance. And let us understand that today, Lord, that you're the God who says, if we confess to you, you're faithful and just to forgive us. So let's do that now. But Lord, also give us the courage, Lord, to help out a brother, to love the brothers who are around us, who may be stuck in sin that they can't see or that they can't get out of by themselves. Give us a gentleness and a humility to do that in a way that you do that to us. But also give us the courage to do it. So Lord, today give us eyes to see someone who needs our help. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Bible Show. If you enjoyed this podcast, please remember to like and subscribe and leave a kind review to help us in the world of tech algorithms. Also, feel free to share with a friend. We'll see you next week with another episode of The Bible Show.